Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, the 19th of October. Hope you're having a good week. Mark is continuing to read through The Holy Spirit by Arthur W. Pink, Chapter 9, Part 2. And I want to remind everybody that you can get a copy of this book by going to Amazon.com. Pick you up a copy for about $10.
We have dwelled upon some of the general inferior operations which the Holy Spirit performs upon the non-elect. We are never brought into a saving knowledge of the truth. Now we shall consider especially the saving work of the people of God, dwelling mainly upon the absolute necessity for the same, should make it easier for the Christian reader to perceive the absoluteness of this necessity when we say the whole work of the Spirit within the elect is to plan the heart, a hatred for and a loathing of sin as sin, and a love for longing after wholeness as wholeness. This is something which no human power can bring about. It is something which the most faithful preaching as such cannot produce. It is something which the mere circulating reading of the Scripture does not impart. It is a miracle, grace, divine wonder which none but God can or does perform. Of course, if men are only partly to pray, which is really the belief today of the vast majority of preachers and their hearers, never having been experimentally taught by God their own depravity, doubt, if deep down in their hearts all men really love God, if they are so good natured, it's easy to persuade to become Christians. And there is no need for the Holy Spirit to put forth so mighty power to do for them what they are altogether incapable of doing for themselves. Again, if being saved consists merely in believing that I'm a lost sinner and on my way to hell, by simply believing that God loves me, that Christ died for me, and that He will save me now on condition I accept Him as my personal Savior, and rest upon His finished work, then no supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit required to do enable me to fulfill that condition. Self-interest moves me to, and the decision of my will is all that is required. If, on the other hand, all men hate God, John 15:23-25, they have minds which are enemy against God, Romans 8:7, so that there is none that seeketh after God, Romans 3:11, so that there is none save God, Romans 3:11, preferring and determining to follow their own inclinations and pleasures, instead of being sent them to do evil, Ecclesiastes 8:11. And if when the overtures of God's mercy are made known to them, they are freely excited to avail themselves the same, they all with one consent began to make excuse like Luke 14:18, it is very evident that the physical power and transforming operations of the Spirit is indispensably required if placed to submission in sacred nature. This is why
do it louder.
Christ said, "No man can come to me except the Father by the Spirit which sent me draw him." John 6:44. Again, if the Lord Jesus Christ came here to uphold and enforce the high claims of God, rather than the lower, set them aside, if he declared that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and broad way which anyone would find it easy to tread, if the salvation which He has provided is deliverance from sin and self-pleasing, worldliness, indulging the lust of flesh, and the bestowing of a nature which desires and determines to live for God's glory and please Him in all the details of our present lives, and is clearly beyond dispute that none but the Spirit of God can impart a genuine desire for such salvation. And if instead of accepting Christ and rest upon His finished work be the sole condition of salvation, He demands the sinner throw down the weapons of his defiance, abandon every idol, and reservedly surrender himself his life and receive Him as His only Lord and Master, that not by a miracle of grace can enable any captive of Satan's to meet such requirements against what has been said above, it may be injected in no such hatred of God as we have affirmed exists in the hearts of the great majority of our fellow creatures. That while there may be a few degenerates who have sold themselves to the devil and thoroughly hardened in sin, yet the remainder of mankind are firmly disposed to God, as is evident by the countless millions who have some form or other of religion. To such an objector we reply, the fact is, dear friend, that those to whom you refer are almost entirely ignorant of the God of Scripture. They have heard that He loves everybody. Everybody's benevolently inclined toward all His creatures and so easygoing that in return for their religious performances will wink at their sins. Of course, they have no hatred for such a God as this, but tell them something of the character of the true God, that He hates all the workers of iniquity, Psalm 5:5. He is inexorably just and ineffably holy, but He is the uncontrollable sovereign who hath mercy on whom He will have mercy on whom He will harden it for 9:18. And their enmity against Him will soon manifest it into which none but the Holy Spirit will overcome.
Can't hear you.
It may be objected again that so far from the gloomy picture which we have sketched above being accurate, the great majority of people so desire to be saved and make more or less endeavor after salvation. This is readily granted. There is in every human heart a desire for deliverance from misery and a longing after happiness and security in those who come under the sound of God's word. And that's just supposed to be delivered from the wrath to come, in which to be assured that heaven will be their eternal dwelling place. Who wants to endure the everlasting burnings? But that desire in this position is quite compatible and consistent with the greatest love to sin, the most entire obvious of hearts, that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. But what the objector here refers to is a vastly different thing from desiring heaven upon God's terms. Being willing to tread the only path which leads there. The instinct of self-preservation is officially strong to move multitudes that undertake many performances and penances in the hope that thereby they shall escape hell. Stronger men's belief of the truth of divine judgment by divine revelation, the more firmly they become convinced that there is a day of judgment when they must appear before their Maker and render an account of all their desires, thought, words, and deeds. The most serious and sober will be their minds. The conscience convict them of their misspent lives, and they are ready to turn over a new life. Yet then let them be persuaded that Christ stands free as the fire escape is willing to rescue them, though the world still claims their hearts, and thousands are ready to believe in Him. Yes, it's done by multitudes who still hate the true character of the Savior, reject with all their hearts of salvation which He has. Far more different is this from an unregenerate person longing for deliverance from self and sin, and then partaking in holiness which Christ purchased for His peoples. All around us are willing to receive Christ as our Savior. We are altogether willing to surrender Him as our Lord. They would like His peace, but they refuse his yoke without which his peace cannot be found. Matthew 11:29. He admire his promises but have no heart for his precepts. They will rest upon his priestly work. Will not be subject to his kingly scepter. They will believe in the Christ who is suited to their own corrupt tastes or sentimental dreams. They despise and reject the Christ of God like the multitudes of old. They want his loaves and fishes, but for his heart searching flesh, whether in sin, condemning, teaching, they have no appetite. They prove him as a healer of their bodies, as a healer of their prayer souls. They desire him not, nothing but the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit can change his bias of any soul. It's just because modern Christian has such an inadequate estimate of the fearful universal affections of fall is rot. The imperative need for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is now so little realized. It's because such false conceptions of human depravity so widely prevail that in most places it is supposed all which is needed is half the community. Is to hire some popular evangelist, attractive singer, and the reason why so few are aware of the awful depths of human depravity, terrible enmity of the carnal mind against God, and the cares inbred and invertebrate hatred of him is because his character is now so rarely declared from the pulpit that the preachers will deliver the same type of messages as to Jeremiah and his degenerative age, or even as John the Baptist did. They would soon discover how their ears were really affected toward God, and then they would perceive that unless the power of the Spirit is attended in their preaching, their minds will be silent. Next time, chapter 10 of the Holy Spirit regenerating.
Thank you, Mark. So tomorrow we'll be ready for chapter 10. May you have a good day.